I don't know. Oh, on January 19th, first day of class. Okay, you had a good definition of how leftover from fundamentals, right? You know what that is. So health is physical, mental, and social. Your social health will be in jeopardy this semester. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? Your mental health will be in jeopardy, too. So will your physical health. All right? Which is why we give you a whole lecture. I know Professor Sheet stressed it as well, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow. Taking care of yourself. We have a whole lecture on self-care. All right? Your health will be in jeopardy this semester. Take care of it. If you're not healthy, you're not doing anybody any good. But also take these concepts and apply them to your patient. So if your patient is not mentally healthy, their physical health is at risk, and vice versa. Okay? So health is not limited to physical health. Health and illness is a dynamic process. It's a continuum. You go from health to illness. There's no yes, health, and illness. It's a continuum. High levels and death, all right? Last yesterday afternoon, my patient was like way down here on the health illness continuum, right? He's moving up now. He's not even at the middle yet. He's like, okay. All right. So the health illness continuum, we've got a disability, symptoms, signs, awareness. Here we're neutral. Education growth, that's a high level awareness, and this is premature death. You're going to see patients at every level of this in your practice this semester. You're going to see 55-year-olds that look like they're 90. You will. You go, wow. You're going to see 90-year-olds that look like they're 55. A lot of it has to do with how well they've maintained their health through their lifetime. It's nice to kind of have a framework to look at, to think about as you're nursing. This is one of the many that we use. Another one, I use Maslow's all the time, needs theory. I use that all the time. If I get a homeless person, caring for a homeless person, they're worried about their food and where they're going to get their next meal when they get out of the hospital. That's real different than if I'm caring for an affluent Marinite who's in there for a body lift, okay? Who's concerned because of some financial transaction that's not happening because she's not there. But that doesn't make her concern any less than his. They're probably pretty equal. She's just completely different. So your patients will all be different. And so never minimize what they're saying. So there'll be all sorts of frameworks that you can work with that will be given to you as a nurse. We're holistic, and I know Professor Bright certainly brought that idea forward to you, right? And in fact, this physician I'm working with now, I had a nice conversation with him. We needed a form filled out for something. And he kind of handed it off to me. I thought he was a little, he should have done it. You know? And he goes, okay, you have that ready yet? And I go, weren't you kind of supposed to run it by somebody and take it? Yeah, he says, well, I have a heck of a time doing paper. I'm going, oh, so you get to give it to me, and I'm supposed to be good at doing paper. I'm a nurse. And I go, oh, but that's right. My practice is holistic. I do everything that everybody else is supposed to kind of do and what I'm supposed to do, too. And he goes, yeah, and I'm the doctor. Okay. So basically, because his practice is isolated to medicine, he wasn't going to do this paper stuff. But it was okay for me because I was a nurse and I have holistic practice. Okay, that's kind of an example when it's not so good. Other times it's wonderful because we get to do everything. We get to do a little mental health. You can be an insurance nurse that you just deal with paper if you're, you know, real analytical and like that paper stuff. Our practices can take us anywhere. I've been a sailing camp nurse. That was really fun. You know, I mean, you can do anything. I've done some women's health. You know, I'm doing this home thing now. You
can do it all. Now, yesterday afternoon I was saving the guy's life, right? Yesterday morning I was dividing his recycling. And what is wrong with this picture? And I brought in his garbage cans because they happen to be on the curb, and he's very much an ecologist, therefore I feel that we should be careful in his home, you know, with our waste and everything. So I'm really adamant about breaking up the cardboard and everything. So I'm bringing in the garbage cans and I'm saving his life in the afternoon. We have very holistic practices, and actually I love it. I don't mind bringing in garbage cans. It's something I get out in the air. It's diverse, you know, and I love saving lives, right? And the poor physician, all he got to do was just do medicine. I got to put together a whole shelving unit last week. That was really fun. Okay, granted, I have an extremely diverse practice where I am right now. But, you know, right? We get to do it all. It's really fun. Factors affecting health are genetic, obviously, right? They're genetic diseases, propensities for diseases that are genetic. Cognitive educational levels. Yeah, right? Definitely. Race, ethnicity, culture, sure. Developmental level, yeah. How developed are you? Lifestyle and environment, big time. You're going to see this a lot. As in social, economic, and geographic areas. Right? All to do with health. Nurses' role, we teach, we follow models, and unfortunately we have to serve as role models. People look to us. Okay? If you're binge drinking at a party, someone's going to think, oh, heck, the nursing students are doing it. Must be okay. That's the downside of being a nurse. People always look at you as a nurse. You never get out of it. And they'll always judge you. So, yeah, you are a role model, even if you don't want to be, like if you've been drinking at a party. Right? I mean, you don't have a choice. And I think that's a real negative of our profession. You're never not a nurse. And as a nursing student, you're one of us now, so you're stuck with that. Okay. And you really have to think a little more about your life and your activity because we're role models. Unfortunately, that's not always fun. Okay. For instance, if you get a DUI, you can have your license taken away. It's not going to happen to an attorney. Not going to happen to most people, but what do you? You'll lose your livelihood for a DUI. Drug possession? Oh, yeah. Big problems. Okay? Think that's going to happen to most professions? No. No. Us? Yeah. We're highly regulated. Makes it really tough. So, again, that's a sacrifice we make to be nurses. Health? You know what health is. We talked about that. So, disease is an alteration in health. Okay? That might... Now, get really clear. A disease can be a mechanical base... Right? You can have a GI obstruction. That's a mechanical problem. You have something clogging up the GI tract. Okay? Biologic? Yeah. You can have the cells not working right. Maybe it's a reaction to an infection. It's a biological disease. Maybe it's normative. Maybe you're anemic. That's normal for you. Okay? It's a normative kind of situation. It's a disease state that you're dealing with, but normal for you. Right? So, interesting ways to look at disease. Okay? Looking at disease in some more different ways. Such as illness, chronic versus acute. Acute is rapid onset, as you remember. Short time, self-limiting. Self-limiting, what does that phrase mean? No, it fixes itself. It kind of runs its course and stops. Okay, so self-limiting. Generally, chronic disease is like a cold. No matter what you do with the cold, you're probably stuck with it for at least 3 days, right? And then it goes away. Self-limiting. No matter if you stay in bed or take care. If you don't take care of yourself, you'll probably get a secondary infection and it'll get worse. But that still regular infection, the first initial infection is probably going to last 3 days. Most chronic infections are self-limiting. They run their course and that's it. Then they come on rapidly. Chronic is a disease that continues management over a long period of time, even decades. Cancer is now considered a chronic disease. Interesting. We cure it. Communicable, right? Can be passed on. Congenital, a disease or disorder that exists at or before birth. So tell me how congenital differs from a genetic disease. Let's say dwarfism. Is that a genetic disease or a congenital disease? Yeah, it's also congenital because it happened before birth, right? So congenital diseases sometimes are genetic and sometimes not. Genetic diseases are always congenital. They always exist before birth. Unless it's a disease like Hodgkin's that comes on later in life, or schizophrenia. Okay, that is genetically based, yet with late onset. All right, got it? But when it's a genetic disease, you have the genes for that disease in your body, you carry it. Okay. Congenital simply means it may or may not be genetically based, but you have it before you're born, like a drug dependency, like hip dysplasia. Okay, okay. All right? Functional, a disease that affects function, functional disease. Malignant, a disease that tends to become worse and cause death. My ALS patient certainly is malignant. Psychosomatic, psychological disease that's manifested with psychological symptoms. A couple times I've seen people have seizures that are pseudo-seizures, so psych seizures. It's attention-seeking, you know. Or they want to stay in the hospital. They have a seizure. They look like real seizures to me. They do a really good job. Idiopathic of unknown cause. That's a phrase you're going to hear thrown around a lot. Idiopathic. We don't know what caused it. Like the flash pulmonary edema yesterday. It's idiopathic. We don't have any idea what caused that. Well, I know that the doctor's thinking about it today. Hopefully in the next couple days we'll talk about it some more and he'll be able to maybe figure it out. But at this point, it's idiopathic. I don't know. What exactly caused that flash pulmonary edema? He's not supposed to die of pulmonary edema. That's not supposed to happen. So what caused it? This is extremely rare. Idiopathic, at least right now. We don't know. I mean, you may have an idiopathic cut on your finger. We don't know what about it. Idiopathic, right? What about iatrogenic? The pure definition is physician-induced. For instance, side effects from chemotherapy are iatrogenic, caused by medical therapy. But it can be also used a little looser, anything that causes medical treatment. What's very nice about it, there is no word for a disease that's caused by nursing. I think that's kind of nice. Our treatments don't cause disease. And actually, I can't think that they do. Unless we're carrying out a medical, something in medicine. So illness is a response to disease. How we're going to respond to it, how an individual responds to it is highly individualized. My ALS patient, they told him to go home and die from Rim General. He said, no way. And he's still alive. He said, I'm not doing that. No way. I'm not ready to die. I'm not going to do that. His response to this disease was, I'm going to live as long as I possibly can. I'm going to fight this. I took the job and they said, no, more than 2 months. Great, that's okay. I'll be done before the semester ends. Great, start. I mean, before the semester starts, it's perfect. A little, you know, late in last semester, through the break, I'll be set. People respond differently. Very, very different. So know that. Don't compare your patients. Their responses will be individualized and affected by all sorts of psychosocial, emotional, all that nice list, genetic, familial, okay, of things that affect illness, such as age, gender, family values. Did you come from a family that when you got your period, it didn't matter, you were just to go off to school and don't you worry a thing about it? Or did you come from oh, sweetie, you better stay in bed. You can't do pee for a week. Right? We all had, all the ladies had that same experience. All our bodies did the same thing, but our families probably interpreted it in very different ways. I had a friend who got to stay home every month. I was always so jealous when my mother said, are those girls that sat out and pee? Right? Maybe you're one of those girls. In my family value, we don't do that. Okay, but that's right. We all bring, and you will bring those values into nursing too. And those are the kind of things you have to be careful of. I have to respect that that's what your family does. Fine, I need to respect that. even though my family didn't do it. So family values, social economic status is huge. My gentleman that I'm caring for now is alive because of his social economic status. He can afford to have round-the-clock RN care. You know what that must be costing him? So he's alive because of his social economic status. Culture. Yes, very much so, right? Very much so, culture. We'll talk about that. In fact, one of the pull-out sessions is going to be very interesting. It's about cultural competence nursing. These ladies are going to look at culture from the view of being a nurse. It's a minority, as well as working with culturally diverse clients. That's going to be a very interesting one. It's one we haven't done before. Educational level, yeah. Really makes a difference. You approach patients extremely differently depending on their educational level. Some of them want to hear all about it. They want to learn everything. Tell me all about it. Others, I don't want to hear it. It just upsets me. Just tell me what I have to do. We get some people that are very well educated. They want to learn. Teach me, tell me about what we're doing. What are we doing? Why? Others, no, just tell me what to do. I can't be bothered. So that's something else you need to take into consideration. When you walk into a patient's room, you become a little chameleon. You're going to read about them. You're going to know you're walking into someone who's a Hispanic laborer who's here as an immigrant. That's going to be very different than if you're walking into someone that's an attorney and well educated. So you're going to kind of take on that persona to be able to work with your patient. And they're going to be very different. Part of kind of the skill, the culture of nursing that you learn. Educational level can be huge. Mental status, obviously. In general, you'll get the opportunity to work with a lot of people whose level of consciousness isn't optimum. And that will be an adventure. So there's a sequela to illness behaviors. People experience symptoms, they assume the sick role. And assuming the sick role, what is that for you? Do you put on your cozy jammies with the feet in them and sit on the sofa and eat popcorn and watch movies on Lifetime? And that's what you do every time you're sick, and that's your comfy, cozy thing, right? Maybe. If you wear your bathrobe all day, chances are you're not feeling well, right? Whenever my father put on his bathrobe at all, he was sick. He never wore it. He had the bathrobe on when he got sick. So we have, think about yourself, these little things that you do to assume the sick role. Think about when someone comes in the hospital, what do we do to them? You put away their pretty clothes, you put them in the sick role. Whether they felt like they were in the sick role before or not, they are now. And that can be really hard. Specifically, especially when I think of people like a cancer patient who is asymptomatic, no symptoms. But they have to come in for treatment. What do we do to them? We make them sick. Then now they're feeling sick because we dressed them up in a gown and put them in a bed. So be careful of this. Try to normalize your patient. Be aware that we're making them assume a sick role. Sometimes that's appropriate, sometimes maybe not so much. Children in the hospital, they do wonderful things for children. They do pizza parties and all sorts of things to get them out of that sick role. Try to normalize life as much as possible within the hospital. We seek medical care often, and we become dependent, don't we? I'm sick, right? That's what your patient will do. They expect your care because they're in the sick role. That's fine. That's what we do. We care. And then hopefully they'll achieve recovery and rehabilitation and move back out. But you can look at this even for yourselves. As you get a cold, you move through this. You may or may not seek medical care, but you become dependent. Oh, I'm too sick, you can make me a cup of tea. It's kind of, we talked about acute, talked about chronic, right? Chronic illness, people need to live as normally as possible, they adapt. You'll be dealing with a lot of people with chronic illnesses in the hospital. They definitely need to maintain a positive self-concept, hope within reason, okay? Maintain a feeling of control is incredibly important. You're going to see this control thing come up a lot. And confront the inevitability of death. I'm doing all this with my patient right now, big time. The control, the vulnerability, yeah. The inevitability. Yesterday in his face, I'm saying, this is it. Right now, you breathe. This is it. We talked about how you wanted to fight. Fight now. Now is the time. because if he didn't, he was going to die. He chose, that man chose to live yesterday afternoon. It was his choice. I firmly believe that. He could have not and died just as easily. He chose to fight. He chose to take those extra breaths until we were able to get that those drugs in him and reset his ventilator. He chose to do that so he could get him, so he could continue to oxygenate his body and live. He could have, as soon as he relaxed, I can just see him just go like this. As soon as he relaxed, 38, size got down to 38. No, you can't relax, you can't. Okay. So yeah, do that. Primary illness, we talked about this a little bit last semester. Did you? Primary, secondary, tertiary illness? Okay, you know that. I want to get on to the rest of our stuff. Assessment with changes in hair and skin. You'll learn some of this you've learned in your, what's it called, life class? Your, yeah, how do life changes? How do our lives change? What's appropriate for what level? We're going to talk a little bit more about this in our exercise. So young adults have injury. Let me go through this really quick because you're going to do an exercise and then you're going to be able to teach us about it. Middle age have different problems, don't they? And older, you're going to have a whole course on jaw and what's appropriate for an older person. Now, we nurse to families, big time. Your patients' family are also your patients. Don't ever exclude them and think they're not. My relationship with my patient's wife, I said to her, you're my patient too. I'm equally concerned about her well-being, how she handled it, how'd she handle what came down yesterday. She was there with me. And so, you know, I was immediately concerned about her. Are you okay? So I think I'm going to go take a walk. I'm like, God, she's not okay. I said, how are you doing? She said, I'm okay. How do families function? We talked a little bit about families last semester, right? Yes? You had a family? Did you have a family unit? Okay. Talked about different kinds of families, how they interact. You're going to see families that work very differently than your own. We all kind of only know our own families, maybe neighbors' families, a boyfriend, girlfriend's family. We don't know a lot. You're going to see a lot of different families and diverse interactions. That's okay. So embrace that. Families all act differently, different boundaries, the whole thing. All right. So now we have an opportunity. Let me stop the power, the GarageBand. Thank you, GarageBand. Come back. Thank you very much.